Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Merry Christmas Eve, so to speak. Be careful on the highway. Hope everyone is safe around family and friends and enjoy the Christmas holidays. We're going to crank it up right off the bat. We'll go to our talk and text line. Teron Davenport, and Teron does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN. Teron, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. I tell you what, I can't lie, man. I heard the name Bobby Hebert, and no offense to you guys, but I heard that mentioned. I'm like, oh, shoot. But I'm still glad to talk to you guys as well.
Yeah. One thing, Bob's sort of long-winded with the questions, but he's out in California actually visiting his newest grandson. And, Teron, you'd never guess what the first name of that young boy is. It's Cannon.
I hope it's not Art.
Okay, no, Cannon. It's That's Cannon. And so we got the kind of tip that it was going to be associated with Bobby J. But, he's going to visit Cannon for the first time. So, yeah, it's That's part awesome. Of the Cajun Cannon connection. Teron, yeah. Similar to this, there's a lot of similarities between the Saints and the Titans in a lot of different ways. But one of them certainly is the quarterback position, where you starting a rookie quarterback, same as New Orleans is with Tyler Shuck. You have it with Cam Ward. Man, I go back a little bit of ways with Cam because of the fact that early on he started that Incarnate Word. And they played Nickel State, which is right not far from where I live at here still on the Bayou. And I got to see him play some wild games against the Colonels, where it was some shootout-type games, and got to meet him and family members and everything. And then he leaves there, goes to Washington State, comes back to the Manning Passing Academy at Washington State. And I kind of got the feeling when he was there that he might come out early for the draft if he had a good season. I think he seriously thought about it, then decided to go to Miami where he got a nice payday there. But this is a guy, zero-star recruit, and to see how well he's progressed. So tell everybody a little bit how he's progressed as a rookie in year one behind an offensive line. They ain't defied blocks of granite, just like what they have here in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, it's good that you start with Cam Ward and ask about the progress that he's made, because that's something that we talked with him about this past week. And one of the things that he told me when I asked him specifically how he's progressed, he said that he's gotten to a point now where he starts to know what opposing defenses are going to do to try to defend him. And I think that's kind of that next level process that you have to find as a successful quarterback, and that could only come once you master your own offense. And so coincidentally, Nick Holtz, when I asked him that same question, he said it's gotten to a point where Cam Ward is able to digest and knows all of the adjustments, the offense, et cetera, second nature. So that's allowing him to play faster. And I tell you, if you go back, you can look at this Chiefs game this past week, and you'll see three or four throws that are just, they're stupid, right? And I think when you have a guy with that talent, and then he starts to feel comfortable, and that confidence begins to resurface, you have a dangerous player. And that's what Cam Ward is right now. And then in addition to that, you look at that game, 2.4 seconds snap to throw. That's the fastest he's had this whole season. And it's one of those signs that, hey, you know what? He's starting to be more decisive. And when I say decisive, I'm talking about throwing the football, but also when it's time to run too.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question in the running ability of the Titans, which I think going back from start to finish, I think has been the biggest improvement on the Titans, their ability to run the football. And, again, offensive line woes. But you got a 1-2 punch there, Tony Pollard. I scouted Tony when he came out of Memphis and he goes to the Cowboys. And then, boy, I got a good look at the other guy, Tajay Spears. What he did at Tulane, man, he was a signature player there. And also, the Saints have had some issues with mobile quarterbacks, and you got to throw Cam Ward in the mix here. The rushing attack, but in particular how Pollard and Tajay has really carried them in the running game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ward, he's I would probably put him more in that pocket quarterback type of mold, but he is someone that can run, but he's not someone that you have to spy and do all those things to. But that being said, it's no different than, what was it, 89, 88, Dalton Hilliard. You know, he's getting 200 to 300 carries. Remember that? You yep. dedicate yourself to the rushing game, and that's what the Titans have started to do. It really happened. They got a taste of it in the game against the Jaguars 4 weeks ago. And with that game, that first drive, they drove the football down the field, and it was just – magnificent, seeing them 60, 70 yards rushing, right? And they saw that they could run the ball, but for that reason, they got away from it. That next week against Cleveland, because it's Myles Garrett, and like, hey, I'm not dropping back 30 to 40 times against that guy. They ran the football, and it worked. Tony Pollard had a career high. I think it was 164 rushing yards, 150-something. And so, long story short, it's been the dedication to running the football. And then when you look at Tajay Spears, you know, they like to run like a pin and pull to get him out in space with an escort, and it works really well. And he's also a legit part of the screen game. And it's pretty fun watching how this offense has evolved, because now you're seeing both of them on the field at the same time. You're seeing Chimere Dike, who's leading the league in all-purpose yards. Like, he'll run jet motion, and sometimes they'll do the jet sweep, but what's starting to happen is you see the defense just completely shift to the side that Chim Dike is motioning to, and they could just misdirection, do a counter, and the running back has an open running lane that way. So you're just seeing dedication, you're seeing more creativity, and just layering of plays, and it's working really well for them.
The tight end, Chick Kwonko, he's not your typical kind of build tight end, because most of them today, they look like all kind of pumped up receivers that are 6'4", 6'5". Okay, that's not Chig's build. I mean, he reminds me a little bit more of what you look at as the H-back back in the 80s, 90s.
Exactly.
And that he's a little bit over 6'2", but a tremendous athlete already, 51 catches on the season. And I think when you lose a receiver like Ridley, who you were going to really lean on this year, the tight end becomes the safety valve, the security blanket for a young tight end. So for people who haven't seen Kwonko, give him a little bit of a scouting breakdown on him, because, man, he's an impressive guy. I saw him at Maryland. He's a Georgia guy that went to Maryland, and he has really been a productive receiver for the Titans.
Yeah, without a doubt. Chig Okonkwo is a guy that is basically a jack of all trades. You know what I mean? They will use him in the backfield. I've seen them going back 2 years ago where they motioned him out of the fullback position and motioned him right into a wheel route, and he scored a touchdown. You watched the last game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2022. He had a deep catch. It was for a touchdown, and it set up what should have been the game-winning touchdown. Josh Dobbs had a phantom fumble or whatever. They ended up losing the game. But, I mean, when you look at Chig, they move him all over the formation. He's a guy, you know, when they run the 12 personnel, and even sometimes 13, you know, with three tight ends, you see him just across the formation, where there's lining up in the slot. He's not as good in line as he is on the move. Sometimes they'll motion him out wide and let him, you know, work backside isolation and do his thing against the safety or linebacker, whoever goes with him. He's probably, to be honest with you, he's probably the best, and even with Ridley healthy, he's probably the best yards after catch receiver on the team. And he has just a way of breaking through tackles. He runs like, you know, it's time to pay the rent, and he has to run to get the money to do that. You know, that desperation, that urgency. So he's fun to watch. But I'll say this, do not forget about Gunnar Helm. And Gunnar Helm is really on the ascension, the rookie tight end out of Texas. He's been targeted, 51 times, and he's caught 43 or 45 of them. He set a franchise record for receptions for a rookie tight end. And he's a guy that he's going to beat you in man coverage on the seam route, but he also is someone who will know where to settle in that window in zone. You know what I mean? So those are two options. And 88, David Martin Robinson out of Temple, second-year tight end. He's a Chig is more athletic, but he's an athlete too, and he actually has a touchdown this year.
Toronto, back-to-back nights, the Monday night we had Kellen Moore on the Saints coaches show, and he had brought up Jeffrey Simmons as one of the best defensive linemen in the entire NFL. And then we talked with Mark Schlereth, Mike and I did yesterday, and he said that maybe Simmons is the best player in the NFL that doesn't get talked about. And I want to get your thoughts on him, because when Schlereth was interviewing Mike McCoy, and Coach McCoy tells him that the way he plays is just how he practices, and how they have to kind of rein him in a little bit during practice and everything like that because he's so intense and he's just destroying the offense in practice sessions. So just want to get your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, who's obviously a fantastic player.
Yeah, I love that you brought up Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, I try not to be a fan of any particular player, but, you know, I'm a Jeffrey Simmons fan. Like, I love watching that guy play. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be critical of him when the time calls. But I think when you look at Jeffrey Simmons, and I did a story on him in training camp, and we talked about his diet, and he did a whole lot as far as cut out Doritos, believe it or not. That was a big thing for him. He redid his diet as far as including more fish and turmeric rice. And he had blood work done, and it was shown that he had a lot of inflammation in his body. And turmeric, along with, there's another cursor that just kind of like activates it. They put it together and they put it in the rice, and it's helped him a lot, and even curbed his, you know, alcohol. And when you see this guy, and he actually talked about it yesterday. In fact, he talked about just making changes off the field and living a better life and doing things the right way. And it's like, when you do things the right way, good things come to you. And that's what you're seeing now, because this is a guy that, whether it's, you know, just a bull rush, right? You go back to the Reggie White days when you used to use that hump move. Jeffrey Simmons has used that this year. Then you look at just the hands, the quick arm over or the club and rip, those kind of things. You look at the safety that he had against the Chiefs this past week, which is a quick club, arm over, boom, he's in the backfield, and he's not missing the tackle when he has the running back in sight. So, and that was 2 points. And, oh, by the way, the week before, he had a strip sack, and then 2 plays later, he lined up at fullback, and he released to the flat, and Cam Ward had to scramble because they jumped on him releasing to the flat. This defensive lineman had the wherewithal to kind of dance the back of the end zone and shift the other way and uncover. And he went up and he caught a touchdown pass from Cam Ward. Jeffrey Simmons is the best interior defensive lineman in the game right now. Much respect to Chris Jones, Cam Jordan as well. But, you know, Cam Hayward also. But Jeffrey Simmons is the best interior guy. He has 9 sacks, already a career high, and buku tackles for a loss. And one of the things, to Mike McCoy's point, is the way he plays and practices. I can't tell you how many times during training camp I saw him running screens down. And I'm talking about to the opposite side, or running stretch plays to the opposite side down. I love defensive tackles that hustle like that. And it's even rubbing off on guys like Tavondre Sweat, you know, who's 366 pounds and sees Jeffrey Simmons doing it. He says, hey, man, I got to do that too. And you're starting to see him.
One of the guys that maybe Saints fans aren't really familiar with, not only as a receiver but in the return game, I got to see him, and he's got a great story. I was telling Bobby this Monday night, on Chimeri DK. And, you know, 3 years at Wisconsin, and then he decides he's going to transfer to Florida because Graham Mertz is there. And you see this guy, and he can flat out run. But his punt kick return skills certainly got him recognized. But he's also a guy, man, if he get loose, all you've seen is the back of his heels, because he can flat out run and fast. So for people who haven't seen a lot of DK, a little bit about how his first year has emerged here, because we saw it in flashes at Florida. But now all of a sudden, and I give the Titans scouting department a lot of credit for kind of signaling him out and saying, hey, that's a guy that can help us pretty quickly on special teams, but also can be a big play in the deep threat part of the field.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, they didn't know for sure he was going to be the special teams demon that he is now. They, in fact, John Fossil, the special teams coach, the great special teams coach, he said he knew for sure in the season opener when DK, they had like a man block scheme going on the kick return, and DK cut it back and he took off. And that was when he's like, okay, we got our returner. And I actually did a story on DK and a few of the other returners in the league because the kick returns are up. And DK actually, he set a franchise record for kick return yards. He was on pace before this past week to be, I think it was the fourth best, not with the Titans, but just period, football, NFL, the fourth best all-time, all-purpose yardage total. And he's a little off pace there, but he'll still end up top seven, top eight of all time. And we're talking about, you know, dating back to 1941, so that's saying something. And I think when you look at him, the biggest thing is Chim has no fear, Chim DK. He's the guy that, you know, on punts, you know, there was one of his punt returns. He ran backwards and he fielded it Willie Mays style, you know, and he turned upfield, bounced it outside, broke a tackle, and you know what it was. It was deuces. He was gone. And I think when you look at him and also the intelligence that he has, just as far as like last week, there was a play where it hit one of the Chiefs, it hit one of their arrow men on kickoff, right? And where there's a rule that a lot of people don't know about is where if it hits them, you could pick it up and advance it. And if you fumble it, it's all good. You don't lose the fumble, right? And so he picked it up and tried to advance it. And just for a rookie to know that and be able to do that is a testament to him, but also to John Fossil and Renee Thompson, assistant special teams coach. So, I mean, I could go on and on about Chim. He happens to lead the Titans in touchdown receptions as well. He's a guy, they put him in that slot and they run that deep over or what you call a transcontinental crossing route. And that 4.34 speed, it goes, right? And you see him track the football really well. He's a baseball player in high school, so he plays center field. So he knows how to track the football. And he's been a pleasant surprise for sure.
Teron, I always tell this to Charlie. Speed never had a bad day in his life. And that's what you got in DK. He never had a bad day in his life the way he can run.
They have a lot of speed in him. And Tajay, too. Tajay, he's fast.
Teron, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it and do great work covering the Titans. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.
All right. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody in the 504.
Thanks, Teron.
That was Teron Davenport, does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN. We'll be back and more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, I want to thank Teron Davenport for joining us. It's a great job covering the Titans, and you can hear in his voice, even though the Titans have not been very good this year, they got guys with speed. And so that's something the Saints better be ready for, because if it's that wide receiver, if it's that tight end, that running back, they got some guys that can really kind of kick it in another gear out in space. We believe in the power of everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. If it's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, all of us here at Sports Talk, plus the local content you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. We're everywhere you are. When we come back, we'll have on with us Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our talk and text line from the Are You Serious Radio Network, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, I know with the kiddo and everything, man, it's a Merry Christmas to you and your family, brother.
Y'all too. Merry Christmas. Just sitting here making a roux. I hope it comes out good.
Man, you can tell. Yeah, you listening to country radio here, man, when you're talking about making a roux. That's pretty good. Blake.
Well, we got the roux, sir, and we got people coming over, Mike, later on, so hopefully I don't burn the house down.
There you go. That's the saving grace with it, not this time of year. Blake, one of the things, you can see, man, this means much more to Houston than it does to LSU in the Houston Bowl.
Yes.
We had Willie Fritz on, and, man, I heard it in his voice, because he's the one who really kind of came up with the idea of this Tulane Tuesday stuff. And we started with Willie, and it went into with Coach Summerall also. But when he talked about getting to 10 wins, I told Bob at that point, man, I know he's got that focused up, that he wants to get to 10 wins. And this is a real interesting look at kind of – this is a dress rehearsal for Lane Kiffin, that maybe he's got an idea about the players that he would want to keep on this team. But maybe that's a player or two or three here that – says, you know what, man, and I'm going to show Coach Kiffin exactly what I got in this bowl game. Give us a couple, three players you think might be those guys to kind of really show up big in the Houston Bowl.
Yeah, I think they really, Mike, from what I understand, want to get Trey Daz Green involved in this. You know, Mike, they had three athletes on football, the third that they're waiting to announce from what I've been told. On this Nike deal, obviously, was DJ Pickett, Trey Daz Green, and I would venture to say maybe a running back. When we'll see how that goes along with him being one of those. So Mike, I think Trey Daz Green offensively and Harlan Berry is who they want to get really moving here. Mike, I've heard a lot about Theron Francis during this process, along with Phillip Wright. I do think that they feel as if that they got pieces and can rebuild through the portal to some extent with everything that got coming in defensively. I really think they just want to see some of the young pieces that they have offensively and what they have there and some of these young offensive linemen to see what they got. You know, Mike, with Kerryus Kern going out, what do you have with Tyree Adams and maybe Ori Williams? What do you do with Weston Davis? So, Mike, I really think that in the evaluation, I'm going to say Ori Williams and probably Harlan Berry along with Trey Daz Green, because I thought Ori played really well down the stretch. And I think, Mike, we got to know where we're going in the portal. Can he play right tackle? I thought midway through that Bama game on, before he came out for a couple of series, Mike, he played really well. He gave up one pressure and over 100 snaps down the stretch. So if he can get this thing moving – you know, that's another guy that you just don't have to go on the portal for. And so I think that right tackle spot, whether you want to say Weston Davis or Ori Williams, but I'm going to say on the offensive side of the football because I feel like I know what I'm getting defensively.
Everybody's brought it up to me. Can they keep DJ Pickett? Because you saw as a freshman. He didn't play like no freshman. I mean, all I knew is that guy, he's a man out on that field. And he's such an intimidating presence because of his size. But he's so quick in the hips, and his ability to adjust to a pass is so impressive. That has got to be also a huge priority for Lane Kiffin and his staff to keep DJ Pickett.
Without a doubt, and Mike, like I just mentioned, I mean that Nike deal. I mean, from what I understand, going exclusively through LSU in it. to get that. And look, I think retaining Corey Raymond's a big deal. Mike, I've made this argument on our show. I think coming back right now, which can obviously change to the portal, I think right now you can make the argument that that corner room might be your most overall talented from what you have coming in with Haven Finney, with DJ Pickett. And, Mike, I think PJ Woodland played really well this season. And so you have Mansoor Delane leaving, which he's a 5 out of 5 All-American. You know, he was on the first team on all 5 of them. But I still feel like that you've been very good there. They've done everything that they needed to do, obviously, in keeping Corey Raymond. But, Mike, you know that you know what rules the day, and that being finances. Yeah. And, you know, that's what they've been able to do. But he was so great down the stretch. And Mike, I mean, there was a game that Mansoor Delane didn't play. There was a 2 series in the Oklahoma game he didn't play, and they came away with 2 picks. So I think that corner room, you know, Corey coming back was a massive deal here. And, Mike, I think that room's going to be really good. The question is, you know, just Jakeem Jackson, you know, some things that he did down the stretch too, can he kind of step up into maybe a third role, move PJ around a little bit? It all really depends. But I think that they have such a great room overall, led by, as you mentioned, DJ Pickett, who played phenomenally last year. And Mike, let me add this. I'm sorry. Let me add this. Did you notice, and this is just something that we'll talk about in the offseason, 15 plays versus Clemson, then 20 plays, then 25 plays, then 35 plays, then 45 plays when you got into Ole Miss. It's crazy how quickly that he rose when every single week his snaps got deeper, right? Mike, he only played 15 snaps against Clemson, or 17, whatever it was, and it just kept getting bigger. So they worked him in, and I think that was the best thing, and you held it down during that stretch too.
One of the things that's been brought up, and I'll ask your opinion on it, the two high-target guys for Lane Kiffin and the staff at LSU, and I hear it every day, Trinidad Chambliss. Now, he got to get the NCAA to give him an extra year of eligibility at quarterback.
Right.
And then Kawan Lacy, the hammer, so to speak, for Ole Miss as a runner. And, you know, dual running back sets, man, that's all over college football today. You could find a place mm-hmm. for enough carries for Lacy and Harlan Berry if that becomes the deal. Do you think those are really the two guys right off the bat? That's who Lane Kiffin wants to get on this team?
Without a doubt. And especially with Chambliss and how much he's pushing publicly. Mike, he came out there again today and talking about him getting his waiver for that 6 year of eligibility. I mean, look, I know that they've talked to Sam Levitt. I know that they've talked to DJ Lagway. I know they've talked to Sornsby. But, Mike, why is he out? I mean, listen, I don't think Lane's a difficult understanding guy. I think he does. He beats by his own drum. But at the same time, I know that that's the kid that came to him and they had a lot of success. But he's really pounding the table there. If he didn't feel like that Trinidad Chambliss, or if he felt like Trinidad Chambliss was going to stay at Ole Miss, why would he do that? That's my thought. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall there for me. I think he'd take him in a heartbeat based off of what he's just done, and he already knows his system. You bring up the running back situation. So, Mike, very quickly on quarterback, they talked about 5 guys, obviously Chambliss being in there. Sornsby, Messemaker, not really so much on Messemaker, though. Levitt and Lagway. And obviously, I think that they got to go for multiple ones of them. And I think Chambliss, if he gets that eligibility, would be a part of that. Mike, I was told about this Harlan Berry thing with Kawan Lacy, that the Berry family is not, quote unquote, scared of competition. And that's not going to be the end all be all. I think the conversation that Lane had with them, from what I understand, is, hey, I was the offensive coordinator when a guy named Reggie Bush won the Heisman, and Lindell White had a lot of carries too. And so I think that utilizing him in different situations, like out of the slot, catching the football, and things like that have been a big deal in these conversations. You know, Mike, Kevin Smith got in that building, and I was told 45 minutes later he was sitting in front of the Berry family along with Lane and Billy Glasscock. So I think you've got to do everything humanly possible to hold on to him. But at the same time, Mike, you talk about Kawan Lacy. You got to get a physical running game going, which is lacked Brian Kelly teams the last 2 years. And you got to get that hammer, man. You really do. And listen, name a team that doesn't have that feature in the playoffs. You can say Bama doesn't run the football, but Hill is 245 pounds and can go downhill. Oregon's running for 220 yards a game. Georgia's got it. these teams can get downhill quickly. So that's the part where, Mike, I just feel like that you've got to have, and he's got to be a part of that addition. That would be the two. But, Mike, I would add on to this. Winnie Watkins, the cousin of Sammy Watkins, who's a freshman at Ole Miss, who they love. I would also expect that name to, you know, be watching that name out for the portal. And I would think that matriculates pretty quickly with LSU if he does.
Offensive line, because that's – you and I have talked about this the last 2 years. Even when they had four guys get drafted in the NFL, it wasn't that great. And, you know, they can't run the football. That has got to be, to me, once you get past, I find my quarterback, I find my running back, I'll probably get me that receiver. Offensive line has got to be the focus for this football team to rebuild for 2026 because, man, they were soft as cotton up front. No push at all. And that is an area where I wouldn't say Ole Miss has been great at, but they've been good at. And it's not these 4- and 5-star guys like LSU has hauled out. They've made it work with guys that are a lot less highly recruited than what the Tigers had.
Well, Mike, they lead the SEC, meaning Ole Miss, the last 6 years in the Lane Kiffin and rushing. And when we talk about that, let's talk about the teams that were part of that. Bama in 2020, both years with Georgia, who ran the ball on anybody and no one stopped them. We talk about all of those teams, okay, and they have been the team that led the SEC in rushing, like you talked about. What they've done elite at, and I will throw that word out, Mike, at evaluating inner guard play to really get downhill. That is what they've done a really good job of, and you're right. They're going to have to replace, and they're going to have to land on that interior offensive line. If Terrius Kern leaves, Cohen Echols says he's going to leave, fine, leave. There's nothing if you can do that. I think Terrius Kern, you got to get him to stay personally. But, Mike, they got to go get interior offensive line play because that has plagued you so much. You have not been able to get push in the interior. I mean, they're just like, Mike, even if those guys were to stay, they're going to go have to get three offensive linemen at minimum. It seems like Braylon Moore is going to stay. But even in that, Mike, what are you going to do at right tackle? So you might even have to go to a fourth. And we're not even talking about depth pieces and other guys hitting the portal. I mean, that room's going to have to be completely, you know, washed away and moved. You know, I remember this story about Tyler Steen and Mike, me and, you know, I'm sure you remember about when he was leaving Vandy and then he goes to Alabama instead of LSU. Well, it was Eric Wolford that was able to land him there too. Going out and getting and being a massive part of the recruitment for guys that are currently on the offensive line for Bama that actually stayed post-Saban. So they're going to have to recruit. And Mike, I think it's going to take some time, but they got to go in that interior. And I don't know, you know, there's not a lot of big fellas that go in there that can play at a high caliber. But when they do, you got to land because Ohio State did it and they got a Remington Award winner out of it.
Got to build from the inside out.
No doubt.
The way I look at it, you got to build it from the inside out. Other teams have done it and had great success. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your commentary and stuff. And, brother, again, Merry Christmas and happy holidays if I don't see you for New Year's, my man.
You too. You too, Mike. Merry Christmas. Y'all have a great day.
All righty. Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Sport Network. And, man, one thing got to say about Lane Kiffin, he's be giving us a lot of content in early January with the portal. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWE, I want to thank Teron Davenport, covers the Titans, and also Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious LSU Network. When we come back, it'll be our pick six segment. We'll have the games for college and the pros we'll pick. And then Jeff Duncan joins us at around 5:35. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long. We're holding down the fort here on the sports side of things. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, spending time with your family and friends, and just be safe on the road if you're traveling. Got a lot of people riding around and moving about, so be careful. And from all of us here, including Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, along with Charlie and I, we wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Charlie, it's our Pick 6 segment, and so we're going to do it now and get it cranked up, and we got a three-way tie for the number one spot.
Yeah, how about that, Mike? We're all the way into, I don't know how long we've been doing Pick 6 now. Probably this is week 17 of doing it, maybe 18? Yep. But we're all tied. I mean, the three of us, me, you, and Bobby. I'll get to the records in just a second. Just recapping last week, Oklahoma let me, you, Steve all down. Bobby picked Alabama, so he picked up a game on us there. But then Texas A&M let me, Bobby, and Steve down. Mike, you picked Miami. You were the only one to take the Hurricanes. That worked out for you. Steve and I got Ole Miss correct. Mike and Bobby got Tulane incorrect. And then, oh my goodness, I had texted you about this. The Oregon heroic collapse in the second half, the backdoor cover by James Madison. Bobby was the only one that took JMU plus 21, plus the points. They score on like a fourth and goal at the one at the very end of the game to backdoor cover it. Steve, Mike, myself, we all pick up a loss there. So I'm sitting here with like a 1-3 record. I'm not feeling good about the college football playoff. To be fair, I hated all the lines entering the weekend. I made that known. I did not like any of these plays. But then we got to the NFL and things started to pick up. Thursday night football was awesome. I mean, the Seahawks and the Rams game was probably, I think of the Bills-Ravens game back from week one, but outside of those two games, I don't think there's been a better game played this entire season than the Rams-Seahawks and that Bills-Ravens matchup. Mike, you had taken the Seahawks. Steve had taken the Seahawks. Bobby and I got the Rams. We technically won. Despite the Rams losing that game, they were plus 1.5. They lost by one. They covered that spread. Incredible, incredible matchup, though. The three of us, me, you, and Bobby, all got the Saints correct. Steve got the Jets incorrect, plus 5.5. And then we had a split decision here. Mike, you and I went with the Panthers. I felt good about that Panthers pick. They ended up winning outright. Bobby and Steve ended up going with the Buccaneers, so they picked up losses there. Just kind of summing everything up here, Bobby and I went 4-3. Mike, you went 3-4. And Steve went 1-6. So recapping the current standings, Mike, Bobby, myself, we are all 52-54. Steve is at 46-60 right now. So I have Steve's picks. I have Bobby's picks. We'll do pick six as usual. It's just on a different day than we typically do. You know, Mike, I went through the college football bowl list. Steve and I came to the consensus that we'll do the playoff games next week, and we'll kind of break down Ohio State and Miami, which is that first game, and then the triple header the next day on New Year's Day with, obviously, Indiana and in Alabama. I don't have it in front of me. Oregon and Texas Tech. And then what's the last? Georgia and Ole Miss. So we'll talk about those next week. But for now, we have a couple of college football bowls that I picked out. The Pop Darts Bowl, I think, is a lot of fun. Number 22, Georgia Tech versus number 12, BYU. BYU, 4.5-point favorites in Orlando. Bobby's got BYU. Steve's got BYU. And I will make it 3 in a row, taking the Cougars over the Yellow Jackets in Orlando here, Mike. But I think it's probably one of the more intriguing bowl matchups. As much as people like to say that bowl season's dead and nobody really cares about the bowls anymore, I like to see a old classic, kind of old-fashioned top 25 matchup in the bowls, and this is definitely it. So Georgia Tech, BYU, I got the Cougars alongside Hebert and Geller.
I'm going with Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Standalone. I'm going to go with the Yellow Jackets. Both teams are built pretty closely there, but I don't know, just a gut feeling with Georgia Tech there. I know they have one of the top coaches in college football. He does a great job, and, man, people don't realize how difficult it is to get in at Georgia Tech.
Right.
You're not getting in there with no expired driver's license. I mean, you got to have some smarts to get in there. And, you know, he's a very talented team. They're very physical up front. I think they can match the physicality of BYU, and they're better at quarterback.
And BYU has also let you down a couple of times this year, Mike, when we've picked up
against
Texas
Tech. Yeah, but that don't mean nothing to me. Yeah. I've been let down a lot before.
Yeah.
So, but I just think in these sort of games, quarterbacks make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. I like BYU's defense. I think that they've played tough throughout the entire season. The one team that really beat them down was Texas Tech, and that's just they're bigger. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're more athletic than BYU. I think this is a much more even matchup for the Cougars, and I think we'll see a good game ultimately in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which has become one of the more fun bowl games throughout
the season. You know, that would have been the game Notre Dame would have played in.
Yeah, that was the game they opted out of, so, you know. Congrats to Marcus Freeman and whatever the Notre Dame athletic director has been spewing out of his mouth for the past couple of weeks. Up next, we got the Texas Bowl, number 21, Houston, 2.5-point favorites against LSU in Houston. Once again, we have Bobby taking Houston -2.5, Steve taking Houston -2.5. Mike, I don't really know which direction to go with this one. You know, listening to Coach Fritz talk about the difference of size between the SEC and the Big 12, it's just kind of stark. The only real team that could match up to the physicality and the size that LSU may present with Houston was that Texas Tech team that they had played, a team that won the Big 12 and a team that went to the college football playoff. So it's kind of tough for me. I lean Houston because I just, like you said last hour, it means more to Coach Fritz than it does in that Houston program than it does to LSU, which feels like they're more looking ahead towards the Lane Kiffin era and the transfer portal window that's about to open up in about a week and a half. Give me Houston -2.5. I don't feel great about this pick, though.
That's an easy pick for me, Houston. Okay. LSU's offense, man, what offense? I mean, they've struggled all season long. And, you know, without pieces here and there, how are they going to score? You got to score to win. And your defense has played pretty well, but you got to score. I'm going to go with the Cougars. To me, of all the picks, and I saw all of them, this was the easier pick for me. I'm going to go with the Houston Cougars.
It just, to your point, Mike, the weighing out Frank Wilson's last ride with LSU because he's not going to be returning to LSU after this game, and the finishing out the season the right way, he's talked about that in pressers before. That was a couple weeks ago. We haven't heard from him at all this week. But then just hearing from Coach Fritz and the tangible goal of getting to win number 10 for this Houston Cougars team. It just, I think it means more to them. I'm right there with you. So give me the Cougars -2.5. That is our first clean sweep. So that hasn't necessarily been a good thing for our pick'em. So maybe the Tigers can pick up a nice win in Houston.
Yeah. And just to tell everybody, this coming Saturday, starting at 4:00, Herb Tyler and I will be doing our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. Herb and I will be at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, and we'll be on from 4 to 6:15, and we hand it off to the LSU Radio Network. But come visit Herb and I at Acme Oyster House Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6:15. Always got a great crowd, and man, people super to us there, so we really appreciate it. We'll be back with more Pick 6 right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We're in our Pick 6 segment. We finished with our college football picks, and now we go to the pros. Charlie?
So, you know, I wanted to put a Christmas game on here, Mike, but the Christmas slate is just not great. And it's really sad. You would figure that they could flex some of these games out. I know that injuries play a huge part into this, like the quarterbacks that are going to be going on Christmas Day. It's the Cowboys and the Commanders, and you're going to have Josh Johnson go on the third-string QB for the Commies. Like, Mariota's out. Jaden Daniels is out. It is what it is there, I guess. And then you have the Lions and the Vikings, and you have Max Brosmer again, who was – just had a miserable first start in his NFL career. I felt bad for the kid, the UDFA out of Minnesota. He's going up against a Lions team. And then the nightcap, everyone was kind of excited initially for, hey, Broncos versus Chiefs again. But you know, Pat Mahomes gets hurt and then Gardner Minshew gets hurt. So now you have Chris Olatokun, I think, getting start for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's just, it's not a really good slate. You wish that the NFL could kind of flex some of these games out, but it is what it is. The first game we're going to be going with, Mike, is a Saturday game. So it's still an earlier matchup for this upcoming weekend. It's maybe my favorite one of the entire week. The Texans at the Chargers, both these teams are white hot, especially in the AFC. The Texans have won 7 straight. The Chargers have won 7 of their last 8, I think 4 straight. Both teams are playing excellent football. Bobby's got the Texans plus 2.5. Steve's got the Texans plus 2.5. Chargers, as I had forgotten to mention, are favored by 2.5 at home. I will take the Texans here. I am so back and forth on this game, but one thing just stands out. That ferocious defensive line that the Texans have and that terrible offensive line that the Chargers have. I know the Chargers have been winning games despite it. All credit in the world to Herbert and Harbaugh and what they've been able to do there. But I just like the matchup for the Texans. Give me the Texans plus 2.5. You get a couple points too.
Yeah, I'll do it a clean sweep. I like the Texans here. Their defense at front 7 is as good as you'll find in the NFL. Man, they come after you. And the biggest weakness, Texans up front, offensive line.
Right.
All I can say, C.J. Stroud better get that ball out quick to Nico Collins because Will Anderson and company, and they coming for you. But I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I'm going to go with the Texans.
Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, come through for me. Get after Herbert. And that's a good secondary, too. I think Stingley was recently named a Pro Bowler. But the Texans just have an awesome defense, and it gets that Chargers offensive line. I think it's a mismatch. Now we're moving on to Sunday's slate. Mike, we got the Saints 2.5-point favorites on the road at Tennessee against the Titans. Bobby's got the Saints, of course. Steve's got the Titans plus 2.5. Oh, boy, this is another one I'm a little bit back and forth on. I will ride with the Saints. I know the Titans are a little bit hot entering this matchup, but the Saints have been playing some really good football. People will say, you know, the game against the Jets, oh, it's just the Jets. They treated the Jets like a bad team. And I think the Titans and the Saints, as you had mentioned, they have some similarities here. That's why the line is pretty tight. But give me the quarterback that has been playing better throughout his starts. I know that Cam Ward has shown flashes, but I think Shuck's been a little bit more consistent. Give me the Saints minus 2.5.
This one I had to think about a little bit, it being at home in Nashville. I've seen the biggest improvement in the Titans over the last month has been their running game.
Right.
They've been able to crank it up with Pollard and Spears pretty well. And Cam Ward, he is a threat as a runner. But I'm going to go with the Saints here. I think the Saints are a better overall team. Now, man, Jeffrey Simmons and Sweat, they're going to be really difficult for the Saints interior offensive line to handle. I think it comes down to Charlie Smith. Hit the field goal, Charlie, and get it over with. I'm going to go with the Saints.
Cover that 2.5 for us, Charlie. We'll see how it goes. Up next, we got the Eagles at the Bills. Another really fun matchup. Buffalo, 1.5-point favorites at home. Bobby is taking the Eagles plus 1.5. Steve's also got the Eagles, shockingly enough. I will go with the Bills here. Mike, I know that on paper you think the Bills' run defense has been terrible and, you know, the Eagles, but the Eagles' rushing attack hasn't been that good either. Their offensive line play has regressed, I think, and I will just go with the better quarterback here in a very tight situation. I trust Josh Allen more than Jalen Hurts. Give me Buffalo minus 1.5.
I'm going to go with the Eagles here. They've got to be able to build some semblance of confidence offensively. I know their defense is bad to the bone. They really play an aggressive style. That has been what Vic Fangio has done his entire career. And so in this here, it's almost a pick'em game. So right. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Wrapping up our pick 6 here in our 4-game NFL slate, Sunday Night Football, the Chicago Bears, who've taken control of the NFC North after taking out the Packers this past week, at the San Francisco 49ers, the 49ers 3-point favorites at home. Mike, I think the 49ers are still in contention for the NFC West title.
Yes, I think technically they are. It would take a few things to happen, but they technically still involved.
I don't know who the lead contenders are. Mike Vrabel comes to mind. Liam Cohen comes to mind. Just coach of the year. Kyle Shanahan has to get some votes. I mean, he has to be in consideration for what he's done with such a banged-up team, having them in this position at the end of the season. The Bears are underdogs once again. They've been pretty plucky as underdogs this season, Mike. Bobby's got the Bears plus 3. Steve's going different here with the 49ers minus 3. I really liked what I saw from the 49ers offense against Indianapolis on Monday night. where they just kind of, I don't want to say woke up, because they're getting some players and some pieces back healthy. This is a real fun matchup. I'll ultimately go with the Bears because, you know, 3 points, it's a field goal. It might be a field goal type of game. This could be a push. But give me Chicago. I think they're really getting hot towards the end of the season, and I think they knocked the 49ers down a peg.
This will be a real test for Caleb Williams. Robert Saleh throws you a lot of different things looks-wise defensively. And, man, what Shanahan's done is remarkable. Mike Rabel's going to win Coach of the Year because of where he caught the Patriots when he took over and where they're going to end up finishing. But Shanahan has just done a fantastic job with this 49er team. You know what? Give me the 49ers.
Okay. Yeah, that is a real close matchup. Once again, it very well could be a push, and we all get the win, but we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a great kind of cap off to the Sunday slate, which is significantly better, as I mentioned, than anything that the NFL is going to be putting on Christmas Day.
Yeah, the NFL Christmas Day thing, because of the injuries at quarterback, just kind of sunk the boat there.
Yes,
but, Charlie, I'm telling you, man, NFL is king.
Oh, they're going to
watch
skip the
ratings
the
they're going to have on it. And people don't like to hear this if you're in the league and all, but it is true. Gambling.
Yeah.
It is easier to gamble now than any other time. And so that has played a big part in kind of taking the NFL, which was at the highest level before, but even higher than that, because now they're tag teamed with the NFL. They've tagged with it. And, man, they promote this game like nothing else. So I think despite the fact that games will not be maybe what we thought when we looked at the schedule, gambling, and you watching that or the NBA?
It's always funny because I remember LeBron said, I think, either last year or 2 years ago, that, oh, the NBA is still the Christmas holiday, or
what?
Christmas is for the NBA. And it's just, look at the numbers, man. They just get stiff-armed. The NFL has shoved the NBA into a locker when it comes to Christmas Day, and they do not care about the moaning and complaining from NBA fans. It's just going to get more viewership.
They shoved them in the lock and put the lock on it.
Yeah.
Bang. You know, so that's just the way it is. The NFL is king. When we come back, we'll have on with us from the Times-Picayune and the Morning Advocate, Jeff Duncan does a great job covering the sports scene here in New Orleans and also in Baton Rouge and across the state. We'll have Jeff on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, while we're still trying to get in touch with Jeff Duncan. Jeff wrote a story about Taysom Hill and that we may not see another guy like that. And so that afternoon, I go put some gas in my truck, and somebody had stopped me, and I've known him for years, and he was like, "You always told me, in all those years you did the talent evaluation, that Bo Jackson, highest rated player you ever had." And I was like, "Yeah, and that still stands today." And that's 38 years plus a few years. I haven't put out the draft book. And I said, "You know, I don't think I'll live long enough to have a guy that played when Bo Jackson came out of Auburn. That was really no weaknesses with Bo coming out. The only thing I wrote on that was he wasn't a twin. And listen, there wasn't another guy like him that I'd ever seen with that combination of power and speed and basically anything athletically he could do. And Bo was that type of guy. And then Taysom Hill comes in. And I'm not trying to compare him to Bo, but I don't know that I'll live long enough to see a guy at the NFL level that could do what Taysom has done, to play quarterback, halfback, fullback, H-back, as a receiver, his work on special teams, his ability to return kicks. It is amazing, and it brings a story to me that Bobby and I, after practice one day, we get an interview with then Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and Bobby starts with Coach Allen about, why wouldn't you let, you know, Taysom play safety? Because I think they got banged up in the secondary. And Coach Allen's trying to slow him down from, you know, hearing the speech. And he said, but I will tell you guys something that I tried to do with Taysom before he really became Taysom Hill. I try, because he said I could see his athleticism, his speed, and it was always like in the forward position. He said, I don't know if he could play safety because there is that virgin type deal of having to understand how to play in reverse in the coverage part. But he said, man, he's great in the forward position. He said, I had a kind of a sit down with Sean Payton and said, listen, we've had some difficulties getting a pass rush. Could we maybe put a package or two in that we could use Taysom Hill as a designated pass rusher? He said, I thought it was a great idea. Now, he said, you know, with Coach Payton, you know, Taysom was sort of his toy. So he said, you weren't going to get the toy away from Sean. And he said, you know, now that he's established himself as really more of an offensive player, he said, you know, I'm in a position I could do it, but I really feel, you know, offense is a spot. But he said, I think, guys, you know what? He could have been great doing that if we'd have put him in that spot. So, Charlie, I think about it, that would have been something else on the resume,
right,
for Taysom Hill. I don't know, because I'm not 35 years old and I'm not young like you. So I don't know that we'll see another guy like that in the NFL that could do that many things at that level. Now, the way he played, it sort of brought into play why he was hurt so much in college. He's reckless out on the field. He's healthy. My goodness. He is something special. And I think due to the contract and everything else, his emotions after the game sort of told you, he's telling you, this is the end of the ride here in New Orleans. I do think he wants to play some more, and if he can stay healthy, he'll get that opportunity, and most likely with that guy out in Denver today.
So the words that come to mind when I think of Taysom Hill, it's like the often imitated, never duplicated phrase that gets used a lot, because you see all the time, especially, Mike, when we're talking about the draft and different young quarterbacks that are going to be coming out, the day three guys, oh, could this guy be like the next Taysom Hill? It's like an athletic quarterback.
Yeah, right. It's
often imitated, never duplicated. Everybody would love to have their own Taysom Hill, but nobody has a Taysom Hill because he's one of a kind. I mean, that's the only way you can really say it. It's an unbelievable career that he's had, an unbelievable story. Now, you know, I've talked with Haas about this. I've talked with Deuce about this. Him tearing up his knee like he did last year and coming back from it is an incredible story in its own right. But at the same time, he's getting up in age. He's not the same player that it once was. And you heard it in his voice, you know, him talking about that final touchdown pass that he threw to Chris Olave against the Jets. Is that your going away moment in the Caesar Superdome? Mike, it just feels like it is. And maybe he does have another year, a couple years left in him as far as an NFL career goes, and he might go to Denver and go play in under Sean Payton. But at the same time, I just think that the gas in the tank is running low, if not very close to empty for Taysom. That's not to say that he hasn't had a fantastic career in New Orleans. He's had a special career in New Orleans. And as Jeff Duncan wrote in his column, there's never going to be another Taysom Hill for the black and gold. He is one of a kind, like I had mentioned. And so hearing him get emotional, I think a lot of Saints fans got emotional knowing that it's kind of the end of an era with him in the black and gold.
He's one of one.
Yeah.
Okay. When you got to go back to Charlie Trippi. Now, incredible. I didn't watch him play, but, you know, my dad told me about Frank Gifford, okay, and talked about, you know, Frank came in and he had played, wide receiver. I think Jeff's ready for you, Charlie, so maybe we can get Jeff for a few minutes. But I think one of the things that you look at with Frank was he played wide receiver, he played running back, he played wing back, he returned punts and kicks, he played in the secondary. I mean, Frank was an unbelievable football player for the Giants in the 50s and early 60s, and then Chuck Bednarik took a year kind of off of his career with a real unbelievable hit. But you think about since then, okay, Roy Green has played sort of both ways, offense, defense. Dion, Bob's told different stories about Deion playing at cornerback and also receiver. But to see what he could do with so many different spots, and also Deion was an unbelievable return man too. And he was playing baseball, similar to Bo Jackson. It was unbelievable to watch that. And I've heard it too. Oh, he's going to be the next Deion. What? You're not going to see another Deion Sanders. The way he could cover, the way he could catch a ball, the way he could return. And he was a part-time football player. He actually was a pretty doggone good baseball player in his time frame. So, man, just be thankful for that time we got to see Taysom, because he is literally one of one. Literally one of one. Okay, Jeff, thanks for joining us. I was telling Charlie the story. Dennis Allen had sat down with us, Bobby and I, after practice one day, and we were talking. Bobby's trying to convince him, let him play safety, because they had some injuries. And, you know, Dennis tried to slow him down a little bit, but he was like, Bob, I don't know if he can play in reverse. But he said, I'm going to tell you this story about the fact that I went to Coach Payton. I said, listen, this was before Taysom became who he was. I tried to get him to let me use him on a couple plays as an edge pass rusher. And he said, what do you think? He looked at me and said, Mike, what do you think? Could he? I said, I think he could have done that particular part. And it is amazing to we see one-of-one athletes, like a guy like Bo Jackson, like a guy like Deion Sanders, and what they've been able to do. And we had one right here in Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Mike, I don't think we'll ever see another one like him. You know, I heard a lot of people early in his career compare him to Tim Tebow. I mean, Tim Tebow never ran a 4.4 40. I mean, he ran a 4.6 4.7. You know, that's a big difference in their ability as an athlete. And the thing I think that made him so rare, that makes him so rare, in addition to his size and his speed and strength, is his unselfishness and willingness to play all these different positions and kind of sacrifice for the team. And then Kellen Moore talked about it the other day. You also have to be able to master the fundamentals and the skills involved at each of those positions he plays, including all the special teams positions he plays. That takes a load on you mentally, physically during a game, during a season. There's just very few players, if any, that I've ever come across in my career that could handle all the mental, physical challenges that come with playing that many different positions, and then playing them all well. You know, it obviously he played at a high level at each of them. Just a rare, rare thing, and I'm glad you're all talking about him tonight, because I think we've all tended to take him for granted there for a while, and you know, we're going to look back on this period and say, wow, what a special player.
Jeff, we're kind of running short on time, but I'll ask you this as the final question. His playing time does not end here in New Orleans. I think if he can stay healthy and you know, have another offseason getting himself back and getting the knee back in shape, I think he plays again in the NFL. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that'll be up to him, right? I think if he wants to keep playing, he'll have a spot somewhere, maybe in Denver, Mike, you know? Yeah. But I think it's up to Taysom. If he's at that point, he wants to keep playing. But I agree with you 100%. I think he'll only get better.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Man, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thanks for so much throughout the year, giving us great insights on the Saints and also everything in Louisiana sports.
Yeah, Mike, Merry Christmas to you, Charlie, everyone out there listening. Have a happy holidays, and we'll see you on the other side, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks so much, Jeff. We'll be back with more sports talk and finish it off here in hour number two right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL. We want to remind everybody, Saturday at 4 o'clock, we crank it up. Pre-game, our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, myself along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. If you can't make it down to Baton Rouge, you can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pregame afterwards from the LSU Radio Network, and then LSU plays the Houston Cougars Saturday night. from all of us here on the sports team at WWL, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Be safe out there. Spend some quality time with family and friends. And if you're not around the family and friends, hey, that cell phone does you good. You can text them or give them a call. We appreciate you listening each and every day to our sports talk program. So for Charlie Long, Mike DeTellier, everybody else here on the sports team, be safe this holiday season, and we'll talk to you again Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock in Baton Rouge at Acme Oyster House for our LSU Tiger tailgate. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Friday, I think, 4 o'clock, Hoss and Deuce. They'll have Fans in the Pro right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.